That's a sad day. And you'll go, because you won't be able to take it because you've been deceived. Don't ever have attitude. It's from the devil. Attitude. Come on. He's meek and lowly. He's gentle. He says, take, drink of me. He wants to take of him. His yoke is easy. His burden wants who he is in us. Please don't ever have attitude. They had attitude. You know why we can't remain in sin? Because why were they in Egypt in the first place? What's so bad about Egypt if their needs were being met? Come on. Sometimes we think Christianity is simply about having our needs met. Come on, I'm really after everybody tonight. Sometimes we think it's just about having, they were in Egypt, their needs were being met, but they had to work hard. But here's the thing, they were in Egypt doing the will of another and building another's kingdom with their labor. Every time you sin, you're in the muck and mire of life, making one more brick to put on Satan's monument. He loves the children of God building his kingdom. Husevi, you all right? He loves the children of God building his idols. He loves us. Do you ever see a movie like Moses or something, and they're in there in the mud? Because that's the old days, that's the way they did it. They got in the mud, made the bread, and they threw the straw in there. And then they got it out and put it in these dyes, and they made them dry in the sun, and they had bricks. Why were they making bricks? So Pharaoh could build his kingdom. That's what sin does, folks. Just one more brick on the devil's lie. No more for me. He's pulled me out of the miry clay. Set my feet on solid ground. Okay? You too, amen? They spoke against God and Moses. They had issues with God. I'll just pick on him. And Pastor Don. Because I know you don't have no issues with me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just pushing on him. Listen, it happens today. People are mad at God and mad at their church and mad at people in the church. Man, let's just submit and surrender to God, and our hearts are filled with mercy and love. And even if there is a problem, we'll have at least enough heart to pray it through and cry it through and care enough and love enough to see it made right. Amen. Because look what happened. They said, there's no food, no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. You know what the bread was, don't you? And I shared this Thursday. Look how twisted your eye can get. They're out in the wilderness. God's revealing his supernatural love, his supernatural power, his supernatural favor. And every night while they're sleeping, he's raining bread onto the ground. And every morning they came out faithfully. God had it there, and they had enough for the day. Now watch this. In time, their selfish nature, lust and desire, wanted diversity, variety. Same old bread every morning. Here we go again. Come on. They come out of the tent. Same color, same flavor. God, you think we could give us some meat? He floods them with quail, but it says right as the meat was in their teeth, there was leanness in their souls. Study that one out a little bit. It's more than having your needs met, folks. Because you could come out of that tent and just weep. You're amazing, God. Out in this wilderness place, trying to get to the promised land. If it wasn't for you, I'd starve. God, if you didn't show up last night and put this on the ground, my stomach would be hungry all day. But because you're God and you're faithful and you love me, here it is, God. Thank you for caring for me and my family. Don't you ever lose your thankfulness and your heart of thanksgiving. So you get a little attitude and you think it has to do with you, things will never be good enough. Things will never satisfy. Come on. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm being obedient to what I'm hearing in my heart. I'm just preaching it like I'm hearing it. It's all good if we take heed. Whew, man. So these serpents came. Now it says the Lord sent fiery serpents, so it sounds like the Lord just whacked them, you know, but it's the law of sin and death. You have to understand that the Lord doesn't want his people destroyed. It says he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but only that the wicked would repent and be saved. Okay? So there's a law of sin and death. But here's what you need to see. These serpents came because of their what? Sin. Is that obvious? Okay. And they started biting the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said what? We have sin. That's a form or a sign or a type and shadow of this New Testament covenant. What? Repentance. We've sinned. Confession. My attitude's changed now, man. These things are biting people. People are dropping like flies. We realize we've been unthankful, unholy, unappreciative. We've been deceived. We've been used once again by the devil. God, we've sinned. God, we've brought this upon ourselves. You hear it? For we have spoken against the Lord and against you, Moses. Boy, that'd be a good humble day. We just come clean and come to the people we've spoken against. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents. Now, it's intercession, mediation. Actually, right now, Jesus fills that role. He mediates to the Father on behalf of the people. Okay? It's all, you can see the gospel right here. So pray that he would take away the serpent. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall what? Before he made it and put it on the pole, they were bitten and they what? But now he's on the pole, and if they look at it, they what? Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven, but to show you the Son of Man has the power to forgive sin, get up and walk. So right here you see remission of sin and healing from the effects of sin. You get it? Sin was bringing physical death. They were being bitten and dying. And he said, if you look at the serpent, now here's the deal. I said in my heart, why a bronze serpent on a pole? Why would you make the serpent and put it on a pole and have him look at it and live? I said this in my bedroom years ago. Because to me, you think he'd have put up there a symbol of the Ark of the Covenant or the Ten Commandments or something or the rod that budded continually or something that represented God. You think he'd put up there, hang something up there to look at that pointed you to God and gave him hope? And I didn't understand because I thought that's strange to make the thing that's killing him in bronze and hang it up. They look at it and they live. And God spoke to me instantly. He said, they were my Hebrew people. They were my Israelite people. They knew the law. And Deuteronomy 21 said, anything hanging on a pole is cursed by God. So when those people looked up there through repentance, they had sinned. They asked Moses to pray. So when Moses prayed and they saw what Moses did, they knew Moses heard from God, and God said, put what's killing them on the pole because they'll know I cursed it and it can't kill them anymore. And they look up there, and as soon as they see that, their hearts rise and say, wow, we're forgiven, we're healed. Jesus, come on, how much clearer can that be? We're forgiven, we're healed. And as soon as they said in their heart, we're healed, they lived. Yay! That is so good. Why is that exciting? Because Jesus said, even as, so shall. So let's go to Jesus now. You ready? Because I'm having fun now. I feel flaky. So they lift up Jesus, the Son of God, Son of Man. But that's not what he wants you to see at all. For he was made to be. What was he made to be? Sin. Jesus was made to be sin. Wow. I remember when I saw that, when I first got saved, I could have never cared less. When I first got saved, I started reading the crucifixion story. And I sat at my table and I bawled and I just couldn't believe. They did that and we did that to Jesus. I just couldn't believe it. I was bawling and bawling. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, it's all right. It's all right. You know why it was all right? Because Isaiah 53 says, it pleased the Lord to bruise his son and cause his soul to grief. Because if he did that to him, he could get to me. Whew. Now let's go back here. When they raised him up, he was made to be what? So what do we see when we see Jesus hanging on the cross? We call him the sin sacrifice, the lamb that taketh away. What's it mean? What was killing us? What did he become? So when he was hung on the tree, what did God do? He cursed sin. And even though we sinned, we repent, we look to him, and by his stripes we're healed. You get it? How can you separate that? It's just too rich. Oh my gosh, that's good. I just feel the Holy Ghost patting himself. Look. He becomes sin. Galatians 3:13. He became a curse. What God's saying is, I'm cursing sin and its effects on humanity. And if any man repent and look to him and see my heart of love through him, they'll be saved. Sozoed, healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole and kept safe and sound. You see why we have a right to believe for the sick? Do you see why we have a right to be forgiven? He was made to be sin. Romans 6 says that sin shall have no dominion over you. Romans 8 says God has cursed sin in the... John G. Lake used to define that clearly, that sickness. Sin manifesting in your flesh is the degeneration of flesh. And God's cursed it all. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. And don't forget his benefits. He forgives me of all my sin because there's the master on the cross who became sin and God cursed sin in the flesh. I look to him and I say, wow, God has heard my cry of repentance and he has cursed what's killing me. Whew. Be healed in Jesus' name. Make sense? Because you have feelings, because you have emotions, God knows that we need to continue in this word and hold fast our confession and keep on living this gospel. Because sometimes we talk ourselves out of this. Who knows this truth's crystal clear right now in your heart? It's got to remain crystal clear in our heart. You can't fight it. Don't dispute it. Don't let your experiences change it because it's the revelation. It's in the Bible. No matter what you're going through, you open the Bible, it'll be there. You can lose a loved one and open the Bible and it's still there. It's not the revelation that's lacking, folks. It's us and seeing it. And we're not here preaching this stuff to build faith as much in the sick folk as it is in the body of Christ. Because me as a minister need to see it more and brighter. You get it? We're here stirring up faith for everyone. Because faith lies in the responsibility of the one that's representing Jesus and praying for the sick. And of course, the just live by faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. So who knows? We're all growing and pursuing God in faith. But in years past, we've put all the emphasis on faith on the person going through the trouble. And if they would just get faith, they could be healed. If they just get some faith. And God's saying, what do you believe about me towards them? What do you believe about my will towards them? Come on. Because these signs follow those that believe. Let me just say it this way. It doesn't say these signs follow those that believe that are in a wheelchair. It says these signs follow those that believe. They'll lay their hands on the sick and the sick recover. Do you know why we come here week after week and keep pounding this? Because we want to renew our minds and be transformed. We want to see as he sees. And as he is, so are we in the world. And the clearer we see him, the more we become like him. I'll close with this. When Hebrews 4 says, seeing then you have a high priest. Because he was sin on the cross and was cursed. He went into hell, but the spirit of holiness rose him up. And that mighty Holy Ghost conquered death, hell, and the grave. And Jesus is now King of kings, Lord of lords, name above every name. He sits at the right hand of Almighty God, our high priest, over our confession. It says, seeing then, you have to see this, you have a high priest, Jesus, Son of God, who's passed through the heavens, let us hold fast our confession of faith. You know what we let change? This rationale thing kicks in when our experience doesn't measure up to what we're preaching. And then we start thinking heavy and hard on it and say, yeah, but, well, then how come? But yeah, but if that's true, then why? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Instead of camping in the revelation and just pounding that revelation into the problem, we stop and pull back. Well, then, yeah, but how? And we make ourselves on. There was a man in our one service that we do. For 6 weeks, we surrounded him with the same problem and just attacked that thing. And we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Never saw nothing. For some reason, on the 6th week or the 7th week, boop. And he canceled his surgery and he's never had it, the surgery. Isn't that cool?
Praise God.
Wonder if the 2nd week, we'd have got disheartened and said, look, we must be missing something. Maybe it ain't God's will. It certainly ain't God's time, or he'd have healed him by now. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Then you pull back, or you see he's still hurting, so you do the Christian rhetorical thing and pray anyway because it's just the right thing to do. But you've lost your faith. You've lost the perspective of hope in God and the gospel. He said to me 4 weeks into it, I've got to be doing something wrong. I said, stop. Shh. We're just believing, receiving all things by faith. Just kept praying. I know we don't like to talk this way, but I'm going to talk this way. There's people I've prayed for like that, and I've never seen it, and I watched them die. I hate it every time. But if I let it change what I believe in the fire in my heart, I'll be the most deceived of all, and I won't be ready for the next one that they say is going to die. Come on. Because it's not about me. It's about him being, and I need to keep yielding to the message, yielding to the truth, yielding to faith, yielding to the power of the Holy Ghost, and turn this thing off because he's the head, not me. He calls the shots, not me. And there's so much diversion and so much stuff in the church over healing because of experiences and so much doctrine because of what we've been through. And if you're not careful, that thing about ourselves we've been talking about, because you need to feel better about what you don't understand, you'll create something, a theology or a scenario to explain it and come out feeling better. There's times I've gone into my bedroom and said, God, watch this. And I'm not condemned. I'm not looking at it through the law. It's through grace. God, if more of you was in me, they wouldn't have died. I close my bedroom door and none of you are listening. God, if more of you was in me, they wouldn't have died. There's a way for me to touch them. You said, bring the boy to me. There's a way for me to say, bring him to me in Jesus' name. So God, you've got to burn in me all that you are and increase the revelation because, Lord God, I know they can live. And I ain't blaming it on them, their family, generational curses, unbelief, because you never bumped into that problem and you told me to follow you. You didn't tell me to create theology and create more ministries. You told me to follow you. You didn't come with a plan A, B, C, and D. Your plan A, redemption through your blood and your name and your body. And God, I need a greater revelation of you. Because when I touch that cancer in your name representing you, that cancer has to bow. Now, religion doesn't want you to believe that. Religion wants you to say, yeah, well, if it's God's will and God's choice, by his stripes we're healed. We just said he cursed his son on the cross by cursing sin. His son was made to be sin. And he became a curse that we might receive the blessing. You get it? So don't talk yourself into a lie and don't let the devil talk you into a lie. Listen, there's times I've gotten in my bedroom, you have no idea. I'm like, God, I need so much more of you. And then I'm troubled because a lot of the church comes up and says, oh, you're just so close to God. You just know God so much. I wish I knew God like you. And I'm thinking, you have no idea. I'm crying out for God. Really? Amen. I said enough. You got that revelation. It's in your spirit. It's in mine too. Did you have something? 5, 10 minutes? Ain't I something? I know you love me, man.
I'd love you even if you didn't give me a minute.
I'll give you a couple minutes. It's 5 to 9. Yeah. Be gracious to the people, man.
Okay.
I know this is dangerous. This takes faith. It's 5 and 9. I'm giving him the mic. We'll all be all right. We'll come out of this all right.
Unscathed.
Unscathed by the devil.
Well, that works.
Amen?
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. Then we're going to pray for everyone, okay?
Oh.
Jesus' name.
I love all you. Jeez. I wasn't here last week. I had torn my knee a little while ago, and I was in faith for God to heal it, and I didn't get to see yet. And I'm on a time frame. I work for Peter, and it has to get fixed, so I had to get surgery. But I was in some pain last week, man. I was, but it doesn't change this gospel. Look, it's important when you get an experience, when something comes against you. I saw like 16 or 17 knees healed when mine was tore. That doesn't make sense, does it? It does. His spirit dwells within me. Don't ever let your experience determine the word of God. Don't even for a second. You know what? If you find out that your back's hurting, go pray for somebody. Go find a back. I'm telling you, God will move. It's real important. So it was a trial. It was like a fastball the devil threw at me. And it didn't feel good, but it didn't knock me off my course. As a matter of fact, because we go through these trials, it builds character, perseverance, character, hope. But there's a greater breakthrough on the other side. Because whenever he throws that, he takes that, like you said before. He takes that, like, he takes a risk. He risks it all. Well, let's see what he does with this. And if you make it through, boy, he's just double done. I'm dead serious.
But you can't love your own life.
That's right. It's all about that.
It's all about Jesus.
Yeah. I want to share a point. There's so many different things on forgiveness and healing. It's so big. It's all over the Gospels. Jesus looked at the man that they brought on the paralytic, the mat, and he said, "Look, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." And these people didn't want Jesus to say that. They wanted to say, "Get up, you're healed." But Jesus looked at him and said, "Why do you guys reason in your hearts? What's more important, to tell him to pick up his hat, mat and walk, or that he's forgiven? So you know that I have authority. The Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. Pick up your mat and walk." Forgiveness and healing. One covenant, one package. You take communion, you don't just drink the wine or the juice to forgive sins. You eat the bread, the body that was broken. It's a dual covenant. Forgiveness and healing, it's one thing. Don't ever forget that. It's like a huge thing that the devil never wants you to see. Amen. I want to talk just for a second about God's glory. Oh, God, it's so big. Look, did you ever hear people say, "Well, God won't share his glory with another"? Did you ever hear that? You're not another. You know that? You're not somebody. You're his body. Do you hear that? You're not just somebody. You're his body. It's really important. In 2 Peter, he talks about he's given us the divine nature. Right? We got the same. Jesus couldn't heal the sick. He couldn't raise the dead. He couldn't cast out devils. We know it because he said, "Of myself, I can do nothing." John 5:19. "I can do nothing. What I do because I see the Father do it. For what the Father does, the Son does in like manner."
That's right.
Jesus said in John 14:12, "He who believes in me, these things that I do, he's going to do. And greater works will he do." Right? That's us. Do you guys believe? Yeah. That's for you. That's your package. That's God's glory. Pastor Dan and I were talking about the other day, the glory of God, because doxa, I think, is the Greek word. It means the manifest nature and works of the Father. So it means that when someone gets healed, it's God's glory. Bang, they got hit with God's glory. That's so big. It's so important. Remember when the wedding at Cana, when Jesus went into the wedding at Cana, John 2? I think it is. Ask the concordances. Yeah, you guys are awesome. I'm learning. Bear with me. He's at the wedding at Cana, and he said, there he revealed his glory. He changed the water into wine. The glory. The glory. We have that. Because in Romans 8:11, you have to understand that Jesus was baptized, first of all, in the River Jordan, came out, went into the wilderness, And he came back out of the wilderness with the Holy Ghost and power. Right? God's glory was everywhere he went. Ugh, God's glory. And it tackles everything. It's for real. I want everybody to go to John 17. Woo-hoo! Yeah. It's so good. This is so good. He's wanting to give you his glory. Now, he's not going to give you his glory if yourself is in that. Deny yourself. That's so big. Because look, if you're there, how can God's glory rest on yourself? It's not about us. It's about him. And when we completely yield and give him 100% of us, then he can trust us with his glory. Look, when Jesus prayed, did God hear it? Of course. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. In John 17, in verse 20, he's praying for the disciples, and then he says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through my word. Look, man, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Get in the word because you believe in him through his word, through our word, but it's in his word, that they all may be one, us, as you, Father, are in me, Jesus, the Father in him, and I in you, him in the Father, that they also may be one in us. Them in us. God's glory. Boom. In us. The Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. God revealed to me last week, or this week when I was in my room, you know how the disciples had to go, and Jesus said, go and tarry in Jerusalem. Go to Jerusalem, and I want you to stay there and wait for the gift that my Father is going to give you. Remember that? And I'm in my room and I'm praying and I'm like, God, I need more of you. He goes, good. He goes, you shut that door. This is your Jerusalem. That's so big. Your secret place. That doesn't mean just at your house. That means when you're in a truck, the doors are shut and it's just you and Jesus. That means when you're in your office and no one's around, it's you and Jesus. That's your Jerusalem in that tense. We need more of him. He said in Matthew 6, seek me in the secret place and I will reward you in the open. You want more? Seek him. He promised he's going to give it to you. Amen. And it says that they may be us and be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Now look at this. And the glory which you have given me, I have given to them. Yeah. See, because we can't be one with God unless his glory's in us. Look what it says. It says, and they may, the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that, it's a comma, that they may be one, just as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. He loves us just like he loved Jesus. Oh, it's so big. Guys, we got God's glory, and we're walking by people. In the marketplace, we're walking. Look, this is, let it convict you because it needs to. Yes. All right? Because look, we can't walk in fear. You walk in fear and God's glory's in you. Do you think it's in you as a lake or a river? The Holy Spirit's not a lake in you. It has walls around a lake and it contains it. The Holy Spirit's in you as a river. It's got to flow. Bill Johnson says it like this, the Holy Spirit is imprisoned inside unbelieving believers. Meaning we're walking by people, we're afraid what they might say. Oh. I was in a roller skating rink today with my family, and there's this stocky guy, man. He's over in the corner, and he's tough, and I heard him fighting with his wife earlier, arguing with her and stuff, and I'm looking at him, and he's going to give me that. Just a weird look. And I said, God, I think he wants me to come talk to him. For real. Now watch this. It's really how I walked over. I'll be done in a minute. I don't mean to run over. Okay. I walk back to the back of the food place where he is. And he sees me coming. And I'm like, I don't know what he's thinking. I really don't care. Because Jesus loves him. And as soon as I got up to him, the Lord said he has a problem in his rotator cuff. Never been going away. Been there for a long, long time. I said, hey, man, how you doing? I said, do you know how much Jesus loves you? That, by the way, is one of the best prophetic words you can ever give somebody. And it's really on point. You can never be wrong. Ever. You don't have to worry about falling short on that one. And I said to him, I said, man, I said, he goes, oh, thanks, man. He goes, I said, you got a problem in that rotator cuff over there, don't you? In your shoulder. He goes, yeah, man. Why you ask? So how do you think I know? I don't know. I said, man, I said, you want to get rid of that thing? He said, yeah, of course I do. I've had this thing forever. I said, yeah. I said, hold still, man. Grabbed a hold of his shoulder and rebuked that thing in Jesus' name. And he raised it up and he goes, yeah, but it still clicks. And I touched it and I said, raise it up again. He goes, it's gone. I said, his name's Jesus, man, and he loves you. That will humble any strong man. It doesn't matter how big and bad you are. Jesus is badder. He really is badder. Is that legal? Badder? He's bigger and badder. He is. Look, we got the glory of God resting on us, and it's for other people. You have a lost and dying world that needs to see Jesus. 1 Corinthians 4:20, what's it say? The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. It's power. It's his power flowing through us as an open gate of heaven to destroy hell everywhere we go. And I promise you, he's really wanting to do that. He's waiting for a spotless bride to step out with her bridal dress and combat boots and stomp the devil. I'm serious. It's real. It's real. You know, we went to Hoss's tonight, and there's this guy. You know how they, you ever go to Hoss's? Come on, if you live in York County, you've been to Hoss's, right? Adams County, serious. And it's good food. Guy, you know the guy that in Hoss's at West, and he makes balloons? Did you ever see that? All right, well, I was there tonight. And he comes over, and he's talking to the kids. I go, man, he goes, what do you want me to make? I said, can you make Jesus on a cross? Look what he did. Isn't that something? That's cool. Do you know that Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him? You know that? Taking up our cross and following him means that you actually have to take yourself and put yourself back here. Get over it. Get over yourself. When you're in a place like, remember the doctor's office I told you I had to go through all this stuff? One more testimony. Oh, this is good. I went into the doctor's office, and the first time I went in for my knee, there's a nurse in there, and I had a word of knowledge about her neck. And I shared it with her, and we're behind closed doors, just me and her. And I said, you have a pain in your neck. It goes up this side. She goes, yeah. I said, well, how do you think I know that? I ask people that because I want them to get to that point first, because it's God talking to us because he loves us. She goes, I don't know. And I told her, and I said, can I pray for you? She goes, no, not here. It's my workplace. We're behind the doors, just me and her. She said, well, I'm Catholic. I said, that's great. Look, I love Catholics. I love Presbyterians. I love them all. It doesn't matter who you are. They just don't know. Jesus is Lord. So I said to her, and she got really quiet with me, and she walked out. Now, look, I don't get this all the time, but when she walked out, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to tell her that because she denies me before men, I'll deny her before my Father. Now, that hurts, man. And I'm like, God, is that really you? Because I think that, you know, but is that you? It's me. So I shared it with her. Well, there was quiet silence, and she like was kind of ruffled and walked out of the room, and the doctor did his thing and stuff. I walked out, prayed for the receptionist, and carpal tunnel was healed, right? So I go home, I get a call on my answering machine 2 days later. It's a nurse from the doctor's office. She actually is in charge of like, I think Workman's Comp. I don't know. She's their customer resource or relations or whatever. She called me to tell me that to call her back. And I called her back. She said at the end of the message, I'll just write you a letter to tell you what. And I called her back and she said, you made some people very uncomfortable when you were here last time. I said, really? I said, was her name Chris? Because that's the nurse's name. She said, yeah. I said, well, did she tell you why? She goes, no, she just said that you made some religious comments. Boy, I hate that word. She said, you made some religious comments and you kind of upset her. I said, did she tell you that I told her about her neck? God's confirming? Yeah. She goes, no, how did you know that? And I told her. She goes, well, I'm a born-again Christian. She goes, "But and I feel really weird telling you this. I said, well, it's not going to work anyway because Jesus is Lord. And if you're going to have me come through the office, you're going to hear the gospel because that's just the way it is. I love people. And if you don't know him, guess where you're going? So I shared with her a little bit on the phone, and I'm preaching the gospel to the nurse, to the lady that called me. And she's like, I love your spirit. I said, thanks. It's the Holy Spirit. He's in me. And I'm sharing with her, and I said, I keep hearing ankle. There's an ankle problem. She goes, no, I don't have an ankle. And the Holy Spirit said, it's her husband. It was a sports injury and running, and he's been like that for a long time. I said, it's your husband. He was a sports injury, and he's been running, and he was running, and his ankle got injured, and they couldn't fix it. She goes, oh, my gosh, you're right. Now I said, am I making any sense now? She's like, yeah, right? And I'm talking to her, and before we hung up, I said, you get migraine headaches. She goes, yeah, I do. And I heard the door shut behind her on the phone. And I said, are you ready? Because I'm going to pray for you. She goes, please do. She put her hand on her head, and I prayed, and she got on fire in her office, man. That's the gospel. Jesus is Lord. You have his glory in you. He's not sharing it with just anybody. You're his body, and it's for other people, and you must step out. It is the time. Amen. Can I sing a song real quick before you get everybody up? Yeah, just real quick.
God gave me this song. It's kind of an uppity song. The song's called Repent. The word repent means to change the way you think. It means to turn 180 degrees. You're going this way. It means to turn around, go the other way. It means you were looking at things one way, and you got to turn around and look the other way. Amen? And it's real important because Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It means change the way you're walking. Change the way you're seeing things. Because I brought my world with me, and it's the answer to all your dreams. But if you don't change the way you see things, you'll never see what I brought with me. And it's right within your reach.
Amen.
Amen?
Is this the one about people being healed and stuff?
Yeah.
While he's singing this, somewhere into singing this, I want you, if you're sick tonight, if you came for prayer, to make your way up here. We're going to surround you. We're going to pray in light of the gospel tonight. Amen? So he's going to sing this. Let's open our heart to that. And at some point, I want people to begin to make their way up if you came for prayer tonight. And let's pray you through in Jesus' name. Okay? Bless you.
Oh, yeah. Lord, let it sink in. The sick will be healed, the blind will see, because the Father, he lives in me. And all will know and shout your name and live the reason why you came. Happy is to hear the words of the kingdom. Open up your heart to understand. You have to change the way that you're thinking, yeah. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. The deaf will hear, the dead will raise, because the Father, he lives in me. And all will know and shout your name and live the reason why you came. Happy is to hear the words of the kingdom. Open up your heart to understand. You have to change the way that you're thinking, yeah. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. The poor will hear, the prisoner set free, because the Father, he lives in me. And all will know and shout your name and live the reason why you came. Happy is to hear the words of the kingdom, yeah. Open up your heart to understand. You have to change the way that you're thinking, and Lord, repent for the kingdom is at hand. Repent for the kingdom is at hand. Repent for the kingdom is at hand, yeah. Repent for the kingdom is at hand.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord.
The poor will hear, the prisoner set free, because the Father, He lives in me. And all will know and shout your name and live the reason why you came. Have ears to hear the words of the kingdom, yeah. Open up your heart to understand. You have to change the way that you're thinking, yeah. Repent for the kingdom is at hand.
Jesus.
Repent for the kingdom is at hand. Repent, the kingdom is at hand. Repent for the kingdom is at hand.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Jesus, have your way in here. Jesus, have your way in here. Oh, Jesus, have your way in here. Jesus, have your way in here. Jesus, have your way in here. Jesus. Have your way in here. Oh, Jesus. Have your way.